This is Twit.
The White House has said, yes, there's an issue with chips, with a shortage, and we want to see what we can do about it. Tell us about that, Stacey Higginbotham.
All right. For those of you who are not just riveted by the chip industry, there has been a huge shortage of semiconductors. The New York Times actually reported it early on the automotive side. So people actually can't make cars right now because they don't have enough
automotive silicon. It's amazing,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. And this is happening in Europe. And so everybody's going to like TSMC and other fabrication.
Our audience knows it because they can't get graphics cards. They can't.
Yes.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of
stuff.
So
that was the next thing. So it's not just cars. GSM chips are in short supply. Wi-Fi chips are so hard to find. So like your Wyze gear. They actually were like, we're not going to do launch any more Wi-Fi products for a while because we can't get the chips.
Some of this is COVID. There was, though, and I didn't know about this until Alex Lindsay told me, and maybe you didn't either, Stacey. I don't know. There was a big fire at one of the big chip factories, October 20th, in Japan. This is the AKG Audio Semiconductor Factory. They make DACs, digital analog converters, and ADCs, analog to digital converters, used almost everywhere. All the employees got out, but the factory was destroyed.
And that's
another source. It's going to be offline for at least 6 months. So in the next, that was in October, so October, November, December, maybe it'll come online next month or the month after. But that affects tons of stuff, including cars.
Yeah, that's like a basic component.
Exactly.
You know, your analog.
Yeah.
That's the real world. Digital is your computing world, and you got to translate between the two.
Yep.
Anyway, so Biden administration's coming in, and Europe is actually doing the same thing. They're trying to figure out, well, how do we tell, you know, the Chinese government, please get Taiwan on the, you know, how do we tell China? How do we tell Taiwan? How do we tell Japan to get their factories not only operational, but sending the products to us and not their own customer or not their local customers?
So this is one of those executive orders. They're a little controversial.
This afternoon, Biden is going to sign the executive order.
He did sign it now.
Do we have the actual language of the executive order?
Yeah, the order includes, I do have it. This is from CNBC. Biden signs executive order to address chip shortage through a review to strengthen supply chains. The order includes a 100-day review of key products, semiconductors, and advanced batteries in electric vehicles, followed by a broader long-term review of six sectors of the economy, allowing for policy recommendations to strengthen supply chains with the goal of quickly implementing the suggestions. This action follows calls from bipartisan members of Congress and industry leaders warning about the potential consequences of the semiconductor shortage. So,
and this is a big deal. And right now, just to add a little bit more context, there is actually a group of activist investors coming after Intel saying they should divest themselves of their manufacturing capabilities.
Yes. Their new CEO, Pat Gelsinger, is the one that's going to decide that at some point soon, I think.
So having this sort of political, you know, it's the opposite of a tailwind, helping them, you know, fend that off will be good. But here in the U.S., we have actually several high-end plants. Samsung has a 300-millimeter fab that's running at a pretty high process node. Micron, they make memory. They've got excellent fabs here in the U.S. But we don't actually have a lot of the smaller components. We have a couple really ancient fabrication plants that do some analog chips. But 79% or almost 80%, I believe, of the chips made today are made not in the U.S. They are made in Taiwan or China or Japan. And so
only about, according to the Semiconductor Industry Association, 12.5% of semiconductors are made in the U.S.
Speaking of strategic,
79% are in Asia.
Yeah. But can you solve this with the stroke of a pen, Stacey? I mean,
so what you're going to have to do is build or retrofit more fabs. And I will tell you right now, we have fabs in this country that people are not that have just lying dormant or getting transitioned to, like, they're not shopping malls, but data centers or something else. The other thing is fabs are very expensive.
Yeah.
And they take a long time to build. You need access to a lot of fresh and clean water. So there's a lot of, like, New York is really big into this because they poached it from Austin, y'all. They stole semi, it was the mm-hmm. innovation State. Center that was established in the 80s in Austin. It helped create, actually, Austin as a tech map or a tech kind of juggernaut. And it was the equipment and manufacturing industry association for the semiconductor industry. New York stole it. And now New York is, you know, going to try to finagle some money and whatnot to probably, I'm guessing, produce or build fabrication plants there.
We talked about this last week, didn't we? The TSMC bought 1,000 acres of land in North Phoenix in December. They're going to start a $12 billion fab, which won't go online, as you said. It's expensive and it takes a long time to build for a few years. But we'll make as many as 1,900 jobs there. But this is, you know, that's a few years off. I mean, this is the kind of problem
I don't think you can solve real quickly,
can you?
So when I'm talking to my sources who are having trouble, a couple things. And actually, my guest this week on the podcast is talking about this. On the consumer side, for like consumer devices, what they're having to do is put down more, like order more in advance. So
that's why Apple is not suffering a shortage. They went to TSMC and bought their entire production. They said, we'll take it all.
Yes.
And they bought so much, they could lock it in.
So what's going to happen is if demand doesn't, so they're buying more chip, like a year and a half's worth of chips. So in another year or so, if demand hasn't, you know, demand has fallen or isn't meeting what they thought they would, you're going to see some great sales on electronic devices. That's it. So
what about from a policy perspective? I mean, Leo's point is obviously you can't solve this overnight. But if you're trying to have over the next few years a policy that would help our strategic requirements here, what would that look like? Any idea? Is it just tax breaks? Is it?
Yeah, you start building in the U.S., right?
So there's a couple things. Arizona is a terrible place to make chips. It's great because the land is cheap.
You mentioned
but
water.
The water is expensive.
Yeah.
So you see them in like Idaho.
Oregon
Washington
is where
State,
Intel
Oregon.
Has been making theirs, right?
They have fabs. They have fabs in both, actually. Their next generation fab is actually in Chandler, Arizona. So yes, you should. But cities already do this. Like in Austin, when we were vying for fabs, we gave them everything. When Samsung was looking at their advanced 300-millimeter fab that they put in Austin, the city was like, yes, you want land? We'll give you land. You need guaranteed access to water? We'll give this to you. By the way, in Texas during the power outages, we lost a Samsung plant. We lost a TI plant. We lost actually a couple semiconductor plants for like a week because they were offline because of the power shortages.
Because of the power?
It's not going to help. Yep. And water.
Texas.
I know. But yeah, strategically, all you can do is, I mean, hopefully this will get the activist investors off of Intel's back, I guess. I mean, like, you don't want to fight the government, right? Two, tax breaks. Three, even pinpointing and saying, hey, this is going to be a focus of ours is going to help. And then some of these things we can't solve, like access to rare earth minerals for batteries.
Right.
I mean, that's we don't have those stores. So maybe we stop pissing off China quite so badly. I don't know.
Yeah, there is no short-term solution. And that's what the auto industry is saying. And there's going to be big shortages in cars this year and so forth. But of course, that doesn't mean you don't do anything. It just means there's nothing you can do that's going to help in the long short term. But you could start thinking in the long term about how do we solve this. And I think that's what the 100-day review is designed to do. And acknowledging that we can't make everything here, too. You also have to work with your international partners, as you mentioned, for rare earth materials and so forth. It's important for defense as much as it is for private industry. So administration officials have met with automakers or in discussions with foreign counterparts on ways to increase chip supplies in the near term. Detroit General Motors has shuttered three plants in North America from February 8th to at least mid-March. Ford has seen production disruptions in the past several weeks of its pickup, the F-150. I guess I'm lucky I got the car I did because it has a lot of batteries in it and a lot of electronics. But they built it late last year, and I wonder. So this is, I'm glad. I'm glad that we have somebody in the White House who at least is paying attention to this stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Whether they can make a difference, well, that's going to depend.
If we can put some fabs in coal mines in West Virginia, maybe we can solve a few problems.
There you go. Put the miners to work.